For the year 2021, this church has been challenged with the theme of let us do good to all. That's an important theme and a good one for a church to focus on. However, we realize that this is a theme that God has given to mankind. From ancient times to the present, God has said, I want you doing good. And there are occasions in the Bible where He puts that in a direct statement format, such as what we find in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, which is our theme passage. Really, though, more times than specifically stating it, God illustrates the concept of doing good through examples. And so the Bible is filled with all manner of people, most of them very common, many times not much known about them. Yet God chooses to record a time in their lives where they're shown doing good. Today we're going to talk about one of those people, a man who is probably known by very few. Even people who consider themselves well-versed might struggle to place where this man's life fits in. Yet the man Barzillai was a good man. And though we have only a scant amount of information about him, God shows us enough to illustrate points that He desires for us to put in our lives. And so our study today is going to focus on Barzillai, this good man who chose to do good when the opportunity prevailed. To understand Barzillai's place in the Bible, we've got to go back to a time that was very, very difficult. And as we see the situation unfolding, what we're going to see is a facet of Barzillai's good dealings in which he's primarily going to place himself in some danger should things not work out the way he desires. So let's set the stage for what's going on. We go back to the reign of King David, and this is occurring after his sin with Bathsheba. We understand that his life took a very definite downturn after that. Though he was forgiven, he faces problem after problem, one of the greatest being when his son Absalom chooses to rebel against him. And so what we find is that David is at a very low point. When he hears that Absalom is coming to Jerusalem, he packs up his belongings and some of his key people, and he heads out of Jerusalem as quickly as he can. Far from looking like a powerful king, he looks like a defeated man. The language that he uses at this point very much indicates just how low he was. We read this as David speaks to his servants. It says, "Then David said to all of his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword.'" This doesn't sound like David, does it? We think about young David who stood there in the shadow of a giant and said, "You may come at me with weapons, but I come at you with the name of the Lord." We think about David who stood bravely as he faced Philistines, and yet here we find a man who is on the run, who's saying, "We got to get out of here. We've got to go quickly, or else we're going to be brought down." Even the words he speaks, where he speaks about the Lord also sound very different. Going on down to verses 25 and 26, the priests have brought the Ark of the Covenant and they're going to take it with David as he flees from Jerusalem. And this is what David says. He says, "Carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, He will bring me back and let me see both it and His dwelling place. But if he says, 'I have no pleasure in you, behold, here I am,' let him do to me what seems good to him." And on the surface, that sounds like a very good statement, but yet in comparison to times past, we know that David would approach God directly and he would ask God, "Is this what I'm supposed to do?" We see none of that. It's almost as if David has taken a defeatist attitude, perhaps hearkening back to his sin with Bathsheba, or perhaps more likely, hearkening back to the lack of discipline that he had shown to this son. David says, "I'm just here in the hands of God. He can do with me whatever he desires." What a sad point for a king who had had such a strong relationship with God and who had been so honored and blessed by God, to now be a man who's on the run. As the writer of the Samuel accounts unfolds this section for us, he presents it in a fairly significant and unusual way. Rather than giving us a great number of details about the coup that's carried out by David's son Absalom, the writer here focuses much more on the personalities. And so surrounding this coup attempt, you've got all of these people who the writer is telling us about and indicating either their loyalty or their disloyalty to the king. And this is where we're going to find the man who's the subject of today's study. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 27 through 29, we have him listed along with some others. So let's just read this passage together. It says, "When David came to Mahanaim, Shobai the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the Ammonites, and Machir the son of Ammiel from Lo-debar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogelim, brought beds, basins, and earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds, and sheep and cheese from the herd, for David and the people with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." Again, not much detail that we find out about him here, but yet we find something very significant going on in that he is showing great kindness to David while he's on the run. And this is where we find the danger that Barzillai potentially faced. We understand that David himself had no idea whether he was going back to Jerusalem. He said, "If God wants to carry me back, that's fine. If I die out here in the wilderness, so be it." David himself, the king himself, doesn't know. And yet here we find a citizen of the king, one under the king's authority, who is giving him great aid, and had David not returned to Jerusalem, Barzillai would have been viewed as a traitor to the new king. And had Absalom found out about that, Barzillai's life would have been placed in very, very grave danger. But instead of running scared, Barzillai stood strong. And we see that primarily in Barzillai using his wealth in order to demonstrate loyalty to David. Along with these others, we find places to sleep and a great amount of food and water being brought in so that all of those who had escaped with David would be comforted during this time that they were on the run. But much more importantly, what we see in Barzillai is that he's demonstrating compassion to those who are in need. Here are these people, and though there is a potential danger in helping them, Barzillai demonstrates compassion by giving them what they don't have. I think that's a significant point for us to bring out because it very much fits in with a theme that we find throughout the Bible. A motivation for doing good is doing good when it's driven by the desire to show compassion. There are so many places we could think of, but we might just mention a couple. You remember years later after this, when a wicked king, Ahab, is occupying the throne of the northern kingdom and has married the wicked woman Jezebel. And in her attempt to rid the nation of Israel from the worship of Jehovah, she begins killing off prophets. And there's a lower light, very much like Barzillai, a man by the name of Obadiah who gathers up these prophets of God and he hides them in a cave and he feeds them and he gives them water at grave danger to his own life. We think also about the prophet Jeremiah who is given this message of surrender at the time when Babylon was coming in and puts himself in very serious danger with his countrymen to try to bring them the message of God. Again, so many illustrations we could use. But regardless of the illustration, what we need to see in this is that every time that there is one who is doing good in the name of compassion, that is a shadow of Jesus Christ Himself. And when Jesus comes, we will see in Him one who is always doing good because of the compassion that He has for others. This comes out very strongly in an encounter that Jesus had with the Pharisees. We read in the book of Mark, chapter 2, that the scribes and the Pharisees saw Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors. And so they go to His disciples, and here's what they have to say. They say, "Why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Well, Jesus hears this conversation, and so He answers them, and He says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Here Jesus says, I see people who are in need. I see people who are in danger themselves, and I'm ready to help. I am the physician who has come to meet the needs of these people. Barzillai gave us a shadow of that. The prophet Obadiah, Jeremiah, all of these people give us a small glimpse of what we will see in fruition in the work done by Jesus Christ. And so as we consider this, we need to look at our own lives. We need to look at the example of men like Barzillai, and we need to take it very personally. And so a question comes to us, am I not only going to do good, but am I willing to do good in the face of danger? So what does that mean? Well, for us, it can mean, am I willing to pay a personal cost to help someone? In considering this point, I think we do well to remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. There are two characters in this parable, a priest and a Levite. Jesus doesn't really tell us much about them at all. In fact, the only thing we find out is that when they see someone in need, they go to the opposite side of the road. And we're left filling the details. Why would they do this? Why would they not show compassion? And we think, well, maybe they're concerned that he's dead, and this will make them unclean if they have anything to do with him, and they can't perform their duties on down the road. Or maybe they think, well, if I get blood or some kind of bodily fluid on me, then again, that's going to make me unclean so that I can't carry out my work for the Lord. The point Jesus is making is that when there is someone who is in need, we need to stand up to the danger. We need to face the personal cost. Maybe that's going to be our time. Maybe that's going to be our resources. Whatever the case, the question that comes to me, am I going to be like Barzillai? Am I going to put myself up in that situation? Will I associate with those who have lost their reputation? Here is King David. And in loyalty to David, Barzillai is helping, yet David is not at a good place here, is he? David, in a sense, has lost his reputation. Here is a king running, not only from one who wants to put him in, but one whose very son is trying to put him out of power. Am I going to be like Barzillai, more importantly? Am I going to be like Jesus Christ? Am I going to associate with those who have lost their reputation, thinking that there may be those who speak poorly of me? Certainly that was the case with Jesus. The religious elite of His day considered Him to be a bad fellow. Why? Because He's associating with who they viewed as very bad folks. What about me? I need to understand that if it's going to be a temptation for me to lose my spirituality, I got to stay away from people who have bad reputations. But what about when I'm seeking to do good? When I'm trying to help those who have in some way fallen to low points in society, spiritually, am I willing to associate with them in order to do good? And I think one very prevalent idea in our current times that we need to consider. Am I willing to do the best thing of all in sharing the gospel with those who are outside of my tribe? We know that in the past 2 years, racism has raised its ugly head, and it has done a great disservice to our nation and really to points within the world. And what it has done is it has brought people to kind of go with their groups, to speak for their group, to defend their group. When I think about the dangers of doing good, the danger of sharing the gospel may fall into that category. And there may be people of my, quote, tribe here who don't like the fact that I'm saying we need to do good to all men, that we need to be colorblind, that we don't need to have any kind of prejudice against various ethnicities or nationhoods. Am I willing to do that? Jesus certainly. Jesus went to those who needed the message of salvation. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to say that really there is only one race, and that's mankind, and that all of us are in a great deal of trouble because we've sinned, yet there is a message of salvation for everyone, no matter the color, no matter the ethnicity. Is that something I'm willing to do? Even though it might place me in danger. You see, Barzillai sets the example. Here we find little about this man, but yet so much spoken in the fact that he put himself in very grave danger to do good. Well, let's think about something else we learn about this man. And that's the fact that he did good and wanted nothing in return. So many times people kind of couch goodness in the concept of being paid back somehow for it. That it's kind of doing a favor for someone so that at a later point the favor is going to be returned. We find nothing like that in the life of this man. We're going to go just a little bit further over from where we were in 2 Samuel to chapter 19. And as we go down to verse 31, we're going to find out a little bit more about the man who's under focus in this study. It says, now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogelim, and he went on with the king to the Jordan to escort him over the Jordan. The battle is over. Absalom has been killed. David is returning to his throne. The threat has been put down. And then we find out that Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. He had provided the king with food while he stayed at Mahanaim, and he was a very wealthy man. And the king said to Barzillai, come over with me, and I will provide for you with me in Jerusalem. So here we've got an old guy, 80 years old, an old wealthy guy, and an old wealthy guy who has attained great status in the eyes of the king. We find Barzillai's loyalty, because as the king is getting ready to return back to the throne, Barzillai is there to accompany him part of the way. And David says, what many, I'm sure, would have loved to have heard, come with me and I'm going to take care of you. Whatever you need, I'm going to take care of you. Barzillai, however, was not political. He had done none of this in order to gain some favor from David. He had done none of this because he was hoping to get some great return from the king. In fact, let's look at the words that Barzillai speaks to David. Barzillai said to the king, how many years have I still to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I still listen to the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant return that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him go over with my lord the king and do for him whatever seems good to you. That is an amazing statement that we find here by this man. 80 years old, and he says, look, old age has taken its toll. I don't taste things as sharply as I used to. I don't hear as well as I used to. There's nothing really that I need. And he says to David in not so many words, but The idea being, look, I didn't do any of this to get a favor from you. So, I don't want to be a burden to you. Don't make me go with you, is what he's saying. I'm happy where I am. What an intriguing figure. Because we would find that most people, regardless of age, would have used this as their golden opportunity. Here, I can be in the seat of power. Now, you know, after a rebellion, maybe that didn't sound so good. But nonetheless, David is a wealthy man. He has a lot of stuff at his disposal. This would mean not having to be concerned about your food, your housing. Everything is taken care of. That's not what Barzillai wanted. And so what he tells David is, I expect nothing in return. I'm content with what I've got. I'm content to go back to my home where my family lived, where my ancestors are buried, and there to spend however much time I have in my life. He was a content man. But what I want us to see is that he was not content to stop doing good. He was not content to say, here I am, and there's not many more years perhaps left of my life, so I'm just going to kind of duck over in the corner and ride the storm and see what happens. No, that wasn't it. Here was a man who was doing good in the winter of his life. And what an example he sets. He was doing good for David, providing David and his people with everything they needed, as we've already seen. But I also want us to catch something there that was said at the end of Barzillai's statement. He says, look, if you want to honor me, then here is this relative, this younger relative. He says, take Chimham with you. Do to him what you're wanting to do for me. And that does take place. David does that. And while this is not a definite, I think it's a pretty good possibility when we look over at Jeremiah 41:17 that we have a reference there to a place called Geruth Chimham, near Bethlehem. In other words, this is likely the place that the king gave to this young man because of the service that Barzillai had provided. Barzillai says, I'm near the end of my life, but if you want to do good, here's the next generation. Do good for him. Take care of him. And David honors that command and that wish. So as you and I look at all of this, there are some points we definitely need to understand. That we need to look at the example set by Barzillai and realize that he sets a very good example for our older years. When we think about getting older, there is a very strong temptation many times to quit. And that's not what he did. So, let's put all of this together now. We look at this old man, and he says, I don't want to go with you. You may can provide a lot of things for me, but I am perfectly content where I am at this point in my life. I think there we see a really good example. When we get to the end of our lives, or near the end of our lives, we do not want to approach that time with a view back that everything has been wasted and I'm trying to grab everything I can before I pass on into eternity. No, that's not it. Our lives need to be lived in such a way that we are building to that point that when we reach old age, that we're satisfied. We have done what we can. We're no longer trying to grasp everything in sight. We're content. But as Barzillai, let's never be content in stopping the process of doing good. Because here he's saying to David, you know, I can't taste like I used to. I can't hear like I used to. But he did not let those old age ailments stop him. He did not allow the fact that he was not a spring chicken anymore as an excuse to no longer do good. There is a very great temptation to retire on the Lord. There's a very great temptation that when we reach our retirement years and as we start moving into old age to say, look, I've spent 40 years in the service of God. I've done all these things, and now it's time to hand the baton over to the next generation. I challenge you to find any place in the Bible where that idea is spoken. No. What we see in faithful older saints are people who are doing good to the very end of their lives. Now, there's an example that he sets for us that I think is maybe particularly unique to people of the 21st century, Christians in the United States who have reached those golden years and have built up a very good retirement. And so amongst many Christians in this country who have reached those retirement years, those older years, there is a great store of wealth because of jobs done well and reward for that and payment for service done by someone who was a good employee, who was faithful to the company. What are you going to do with that wealth? How are you going to use it? How did Barzillai use his wealth? He saw people in need, and he committed great resources to help them. The Apostle Paul talks about this as he's advising Timothy on what he needs to preach. He says, Timothy, you need to take this message to those who are rich. Charge them not to be haughty, nor to let their hopes on the or to rest their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Now listen to this. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. That passage has Barzillai written all over it. Here was a man who had great wealth, and he was a man who committed that great wealth to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and share. I would challenge, no matter what age you are, but in keeping with this point, in particular to those who have reached the winter of life, these years after retirement, that you do good with your money. Don't spend your life stressing over what happens if I don't have anything. We need to take care of ourselves. Certainly we understand that. And as Barzillai said to King David, we oftentimes say to family, I don't want to be a burden to you. I want to be able to take care of myself. There's nothing wrong with that. But if in my fear that I'm going to run out of money before I die, and because of that, I start hoarding it and see good works to do, but don't honor those good works, I believe we are violating the tenor of Paul's instructions to the rich of this present age. Let's use our wealth to do good. Let's use what God has blessed us with to be a blessing to others in His service. I think also we find in Barzillai that he refused to quit simply because he got old. As we have stated throughout this lesson, there is a very grave danger in doing that. And we want to make sure that no matter what age we are a people who are busy in the service of God. Now, regardless of our age, we also find that Barzillai, though he knew nothing about Jesus as we do, was behaving in a very Christ-like fashion. When we do good, we behave like Jesus. There's a statement made about Jesus in Acts chapter 10 that fits well with this lesson and fits well with the theme that we've adopted for the year. Here we read, "You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." Well, listen to this statement. "He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." It's one of those statements, if we're not very careful, we'll read right over it. What was Jesus doing? Well, this statement summarizes a whole lot of stuff, doesn't it? He was simply doing good. And what a great statement that was made about Him. And what a great statement that could be made about you and I. That if someone were looking back on our lives, someone could say about us, he or she went about doing good. Let's see how that took place. I think one tie-in that we find with Barzillai is that Barzillai was really working for the restoration of David. He was trying to get David back where David belonged. And in a much grander sense, that's what Jesus does for us. Peter picked up on this idea. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to eternal glory in Christ will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish. The idea of restoring there is to return to its appropriate place. You and I don't belong in sin. You and I don't belong in the category of being lost. But because of our sins, that's where we are. However, what has Jesus done? Jesus has worked to restore us to the place where we were intended to be. What a beautiful idea to consider in what Jesus has done for you and me. And like Barzillai, Jesus sought nothing in return. Jesus wanted to glorify the Father. Jesus wanted to save us. While Jesus is glorified, that was not the motivation for His coming. His motivation for coming is because He saw a need and He fulfilled that need. And in so doing, He illustrated what love is all about. The greatest idea of love is where we do good for someone else and we expect absolutely nothing in return. That's what we see in Jesus. That's what we see in His coming to earth in honor of the Father, in being a Savior to you and me. That's what love is all about. And so as we see Jesus working for our restoration, as we see Jesus showing this spirit of selflessness and giving us a living picture of love, that should be very challenging to you and me. Because if we desire to be like Jesus, we will seek the opportunity to do good. It's what the Apostle John stated in his short letter that we call 3 John. He said, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Jesus was from God. Jesus is God. We see that in the good that He did. And we will show ourselves as being from Jesus and of God when we do good. Here was a man who lived long, long ago. A man who is very obscure, even in the fact that he's mentioned briefly in the Bible. Yet Barzillai illustrated to us the spirit that we need to have in Jesus Christ. We need to be a people who are devoted to doing good. And as we've referenced in this study, God has certainly done good for us. He's provided a means of salvation. And so as you listen to this lesson, maybe you've been struck by that. And you've really been challenged by that idea. And if you find yourself outside of the family of God, God wants to welcome you in. He has done good so that you can leave sin and to be a part of His family. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Buried in the waters of baptism, where grace and faith and trust and mercy all come together, to come up out of the waters of baptism renewed, restored, and ready to begin your work for God. If I can help you with that, please let me know. Or perhaps you have failed in that regard. What a good time today to take up the banner once again of doing good in the name of God. Let's be people like Barzillai. Let's more importantly be people like Jesus Christ who go around doing good for no personal glory, but for the honor of God. Thank you so much for joining in with this study today.